Amen. It is good to be here in God's house. Good to have visitors with us here on a Wednesday night. We trust you'll find yourself at home and you'll enjoy the part of the service you've already been with. And you will have a good time of fellowship as we go into the Word of God tonight. We'll be in Psalms 116. Psalms 116. I think we're on G. I think, is that right? Letter alphabet G. One of our teenagers, y'all want to give us a blessing with G. G. Help me out. Yes, Abigail?
God's goodness.
God's goodness. What a blessing. H. You got one with G, Kinley? What is it? God's grace. Kendrick, did I see that? Is that you raise your hand for H? Okay, what is it? Heaven. What a blessing. Count your blessings, and you can find them in the alphabet. And that's kids that's doing it. What you got, Manny? Tell me. Happiness forever. That's good, because we'll have plenty of happiness with the Lord Jesus Christ forever in eternity. I certainly will. Learn to count your blessings. I'll tell you, this world will throw all kind of stuff at you. Since June of this year, my family and I have had three different people that we have known for years commit suicide. Since June. So listen, if you get to feeling heavy, you got to talk. You got to let us know. We got to be able to reach out and help one another. I'm talking people we knew real well. One left 5 kids. Another one left 10 kids. Another one left 4 grandchildren, I believe. Another, he was an older gentleman. I don't understand. Just listen. If you get to the point where you can't stand life no more, dear friend, you got to talk to us. You got to let somebody know. You really do. Psalms 116, so we can get done here, get the buses running, get the kids back home. It's good to have an opportunity to be with the teenagers in the youth zone tonight. We had a good time over there. We have a good crowd coming out now. I think we had almost 20, maybe 20, right at 20 tonight in our youth zone. So praise the Lord for that. They come out 30 minutes early before church starts to be with us. So that is good. Thank you, parents, for helping them get here. Psalms 116, we'll read the whole chapter. This is one of those psalms where the writer has enjoyed his walk with the Lord. There's one verse I really want to key in, but I want to read the whole chapter. I love the Lord because He hath heard my prayer, heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. Verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it is a wonderful thing to know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It is a wonderful thing to know that you have been delivered from the hand of Satan, who would love to just sift you as wheat and just to take you and to destroy your life and everything around. Remember, John 10 says he is a thief that cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It is a wonderful thing to know that you are part of God's family. Now listen, there's a whole bunch of things in this chapter here that we could just digest. And to be honest with you, I think we're probably going to spend about 3 weeks maybe looking at it on Wednesday night, this whole chapter. But the one thing that I do understand, dear friend, is this. The psalmist began to write. Here he expresses his praise and his gratitude towards the Lord God. And we need to first consider some things. And I guess what I want us to consider is we need to consider our response to the goodness of God that we have enjoyed. We need to get to the point where we consider how we respond. And that verse 12 is what I really want to key on for the next couple of 3 weeks. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now we, just for a few minutes there, we took to read that chapter through and begin to look at it, dear friend, and to begin to see what the scriptures were saying to us there. And as we ponder this thought, what shall I render unto the Lord? That means, what is my response? What am I going to do because of the Lord? Listen, you look through the scripture, you understand something different. Mankind is wicked. If you go and you study the book of Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, it gives a wonderful, it gives complete picture of the sinfulness and awfulness of man. I wanted to say a wonderful picture. It is a wonderful picture and passage, but where we stand before God, dear friend, it isn't wonderful before we knew Christ Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior. I mean, it is those three chapters lay it out there. There's an indictment against mankind that none can escape. There's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And on and on and on it goes. I mean, just as you look at it. And you know, in our own self and everything that we want to do, dear friend, and want to present ourselves for God, I'm going to tell you this. All that we can do and all the performance that we put forth, listen, it's never going to repay what Jesus did for us. Never. Look with me, if you would. Hold your place here. Just flip over to Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17. Now listen, after you get saved, after you've trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, you are His workmanship. That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. And we are to work and to be diligent about the things that we do to say, thank you, Lord, for saving us. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. And we are laboring together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke 17:10. Look what it says. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. So in the long run, what I'm saying to you, dear friend, everything that we could actually do and put forth and lay out and say, we want to do this because what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me at salvation, the point I realized I was a sinner, that I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I began to do things. I began to be faithful to the house of God. I began to pray and talk to our Heavenly Father. I began to hide Scripture in my heart. I began to share testimony with folks around me and tell them what Jesus has done for me. You know, I get faithful to invite people to Christ. And as I begin to do those things, it's because we're alive now. We were dead in trespasses, sins. We did what dead people did, and that was just nothing. I mean, you know, Brother Bernie, you worked at the funeral home for a long time. Somebody said that sometimes inside that funeral home, I don't know if it's true or not, but then some of the bodies make noises and stuff. I mean, you grunt or, you know, maybe move a little bit. I don't know. That's just what they say. Sometimes I tell you, dear friend, that some of us, after being born again, we sit around like we're dead. We grunt every now and then. Praise God. I'm at church again. Hey, we're alive. We're alive in Christ Jesus. I mean, Brother Jim says, open up the song book. We're supposed to be singing. And dear friend, we're singing like dead men. We need to open up our mouth and let it out. I mean, you know, just let it out. Just praise the Lord with all that's within us. Be thankful. But listen, when you did all that you can do, everything within you, I mean, you've poured it out before the Lord. Sun up to sundown, day after day, to the end of the week, we're still unprofitable. Because we'll never be able to repay this debt that we owe. But I saw this verse this week, and I began to think about this, and pondered, and I said, what are we going to render? What is going to be our response to the Lord? Look back in verse number 1. Verse 1 is kind of a helpful thing here for us. In verse chapter 116, book of Psalms, and verse 1, I love the Lord. Listen to what it says. Because. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. What does 1 John say? We love Him because why? Because He first loved us. So in response to His love, we therefore love Him. Why? Because the Bible tells us in times past we were alienated against God. We were enemies to the cross of Calvary. We were foreigners and strangers from the things of God, and it made absolutely no sense. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we couldn't even understand Scripture because it's a spiritual book, and we need to be brought alive, quickened by the Spirit of God, so that we can actually understand the Word of God, so we can grow thereby. But we loved Him, so I love the Lord. Listen, because. So there's a response. Because of what? Because He heard my voice. Do we understand something, dear friend? Prayer is not mandatory. Prayer is not something that we must do, we should do. Prayer is a privilege, dear friend. And we've got to get done with this here thinking about, wow, man, I've got to work at this thing. Man, it is a privilege to be able to talk to the Lord and to be bring your supplications before Him. You know, as we do there, listen, Jesus, even in His earthly ministry, looked at prayer as a privilege. Prove it to me, preacher, okay? Go over to the Bible in the book of John. Go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Chapter number 11. Gospel of John, chapter number 11. Look at verse number 41. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. They sent for Jesus. Jesus is there. Listen to what it says, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Wow. Wow. That's amazing, dear friend. That Jesus himself was thankful that the Father had even heard him. This is why the psalmist said there, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, dear friend. Not only that, look in verse 6 back over in Psalms chapter number 116. So we're getting up there to verse number 12, but I want to hit these little bit things here and show you what's helped me a little bit. Verse number 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. The Lord preserves. So the psalmist is thankful that the privilege that he has in prayer, that the Heavenly Father heard his supplications. Has it ever been in your time in life where you've walked up and tried to talk with somebody, and man, as you reach out to talk with them, they're looking over here, they're looking over here, and they're just not here? You feel less than nothing, don't you? You feel like, you know, why am I making effort? That, listen to me, kids. Listen, kids. This is why you need to learn to look people in the face, in the eye, when you talk with them. You need to learn at this age. Because one day you're going to grow up and be 18, 19, 20 years old. You have to go stand before somebody and give an account of yourself for a job that you want. And they're not going to put up with you looking down here, texting and siphoning and Skyping and Facebooking and anything else. They want to see your face and see your eyes, dear friend. You've got to learn to look into people's face and their eyes. It is a privilege, dear friend, when we can lift our head on high and we can look to our helper, the Lord God, and we can call out to Him and know that He hears our voice. Not only does He hear us, He preserves the simple. Isn't that amazing? Now, we can go to the dictionary, we can look up simple and and see what it means and what it implies. And I think, you know, maybe the gullible, maybe the immature. But I like going over to the New Testament because Jesus said this, except you become like one of these children. One of these simple ones, one of these that just put their faith without question, He preserves us. What a privilege it is to pray. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God preserves and keeps those that is His. Aren't you glad that you don't have to work and work and work, and then you hear this verse in Luke chapter number 17, verse 10, you've done everything that was required of you, and you're still unprofitable, so give me back my salvation. Aren't you thankful that it doesn't work that way? Praise God. What He saves, He keeps and seals until the day of redemption. So he simply preserves the simple. That's why He says that we need to be very simple to the wicked. I mean, too many of us fool around with wicked things, dear friend. We get so involved in wanting to know the after watching these vampires and walking dead. Listen, dear friend, you are alive if you're saved. Stay away from the walking dead. You know what he's, why? Well, here's a verse that'll help you. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in where? The land of the living. Be a testimony to the living, dear friend. Why don't there be a testimony? We're talking about the living. You're dead or you're quickened. You're alive or you're dead. You're saved or you're lost. There's no in between. You either know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, or you don't. So why am I to be a testimony in the land of the living? Because if I'm not living right for God, with the Holy Spirit of God living to me, I might cause Aesop to stumble and to fall. He's going to look to somebody. I might be doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, being involved in something there, and then it gives justification for somebody else that's watching me to do it. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, what you do, those that are watching you are going to take it to the furthest extreme as they possibly can. It's just that simple. That's just how it works. Also, notice in verse number 7, Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Oh, dear friend, This is more than just some kind of simple, general statement. He preserves the simple. He blesses us in salvation, verse 6 there. Being part of His, He preserves us there. And then He deals with the souls of man bountifully. I mean, Sister Barb, I don't know about you, but I sure thank the Lord, boy, when my river overflows. I'm so thankful that when He gives me up and He fills my cup, and it overflows. It's there. I'm so thankful, like He told the woman at the well, a spring of living water. I'm so glad that I'm not like some dead sea that it just runs in. Everything gets there. And many of us, that's how we live our Christian life. We just get it, we get it, we get it, we get it, we get it. And we do absolutely nothing with it. I mean, He has dealt with us so bountifully. I mean, just bountifully the Lord has dealt with us. So here, there's two things that we need to look at. There's the physical benefits. The physical benefits that we enjoy from the Lord. I mean, early, you know, the Bible says, look in Genesis 9:3. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. Here's some of the physical benefits that we get from the Lord. Noah's on the ark. Everything's done gone haywire. Everybody, every creation that wasn't inside the ark is dead now. Look what it says here in Genesis 9, verse 3. They're coming out, and here's the Lord says to them, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Every living thing. You don't think that's pretty bountiful, dear friend? Every living thing shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. This is amazing stuff. This is how the Lord deals with us. This is the Lord's dealing with us. Look over in Job chapter number 5. Job chapter number 5. And verse number 10. Job chapter 5, verse number 10. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the field. This is kind of hard for us to understand nowadays. This is kind of hard for us to really grasp because we're not an agricultural type environment anymore. We go over to Walmart, check ourselves out, pay double or triple the price, and come home and think we've got a deal. We done rolled back the price. So we really don't understand what's going on here. But I'll tell you something, dear friend. When you farm land and you plant seed, and you're praying that God will bless that plant, and then the rains come, that's the bountifulness of God. That's how He gives us the bountifulness. So look over in Psalms chapter 136 and verse number 25. Psalms 136, verse number 25. These are physical blessings that we enjoy because of the bountifulness of our Father in heaven. Psalms 136 and verse number 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, sometimes the curses of being such a rich nation, dear friend, is that we do not recognize the bountifulness of God. We don't understand the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and as He's blessed this earth. Even though the earth is cursed, this is an amazing thing, dear friend. For the fall, there was water that mist up out of the ground. The man didn't have to work, didn't have to do much, just for keep the garden and partake of the fruits of the garden, leave one tree alone, and everything was okay. Meet with God, fellowship with Him. And then they chose sin and chose to disobey God. And in that disobedience, thorns, thistles, cursings. The snake was cursed. Women have to be, subject to the pains of childbearing now. And men have to work. Men have to work by the sweat of their brow. Wasn't like that before. And even in the cursed world we live in, God still sends rain. God still blesses. That's amazing, dear friend. It's hard for us, and I'm telling you, sometimes, dear friend, that's why I believe God touches our little bitty idol called M-O-N-E-Y. We worship it too much. We all need money. Listen, I'm telling you, you need money. You can't go to Aldi, you can't pay Duke, you can't buy gas. You got to have money. You got to have it. But I'm telling you, sometimes we worship that thing called money, and it's all we can get. We get, we get, we get, and we forget that it all comes from God. So we got to take our society and take these verses and put application to it. You remember when we had the hurricane last year? And many places ran out of milk around here. After 3-4 weeks, they still didn't have milk. It wasn't because the cows had dried up. They were still milking them up there in Wisconsin, Nebraska. Still milking them. Maybe they're bringing it over from China. I don't know where they're getting the milk from, but this milk was coming. The problem was the supply had been cut off because of trucking getting down here. They had to divert trucking over there. Listen, with God, the supply never cuts off. So we don't get to understand fully the Bible because we do not live in an agricultural society. When God says, and we don't depend on the garden like they used to. But we need to understand, dear friend, that we have to depend upon our God. When He said that He does these things for them, He does mighty, wonderful, bountiful things for you and I. We are created for His pleasure and for His life. So there is the physical benefits. Look, one more verse. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 17. And this is what it says. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That's how our God's worked with us. He's left himself without a witness that he is God. That he is the creator of all things. He is God. And then, of course, there's the spiritual benefits of being part of God's family and being under the care of God. You know, we're going through the abounding in Christ in Sunday nights, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1 now. As we look at that, verse 3 says spiritual blessings are located where? We just went through Sunday night. In who? In Christ. That's the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. You know, the Bible says it from Revelation 13:8 that from the foundations of the earth that Jesus Christ was slain, a lamb slain for you and I. The spiritual blessings that flow from Christ, without Christ dying on the Calvary cross, there was none worthy. None worthy to die, to pay the sin debt for us. And when Christ died on that cross, dear friend, and we put faith and trust in Him, all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ are bestowed upon us from God freely, not because of us, but because of Christ Jesus. I mean, wonderful spiritual blessings. Because of Christ, we now have access to the throne room. In Hebrews, where it says in chapter 4, that we should come boldly to the throne room of grace and find help in time of need. We don't get that just automatically because we're bald-headed and we're fat. We get it because of Christ Jesus that gives us access to the throne. So there's nothing in you that gives you that access outside of the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And that came about because of faith in Christ Jesus. You don't get to call Him Abba Father because you simply grew up in America. You don't get to call Him Abba Father because your dad's a preacher or your mom a Sunday school teacher or your dead mom singing the choir together. You get to call Him Abba Father because you personally put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual blessings. That's why I'm telling you, kids, you can't keep saying this. You just don't know the family I came from. You don't know the neighborhood I grew up in. I do know that Jesus Christ's blood reaches down into any neighborhood, into any family. in any. So the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Now, we're going to look at this next week. I got to stop right now. It's 3 to 8. We got to get the buses back on, get them kids back home. But next week we're going to look up at knowing this, knowing the spiritual blessing, knowing because He loved us, because we're preserved, because we're saved, how are we going to now respond? Let's read verse 12 again. Go back over there. You think about this with me all week long. Psalms 116. Psalms, verse number 116, back in verse 12. What shall I render? Well, that kind of narrows it way down, don't it? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward who? Me. Well, preacher, God ain't done much for me. What? Seriously? Then perhaps maybe you're not His child. Because His earthly Father knows to do good and give bread to His children when they're in need. How much more and greater should our Heavenly Father? Oh, He's good. It kind of narrows it down. What shall I? Well, I've been thinking about what our church is going to do. I've been thinking about what, you know, what pastor's going to be doing for the Lord since He's so good. What shall I, because He's been good to me? That's a good question right there. I mean, that is convicting. When I saw that, I said, Lord, help us. We need to look at this in a little bit of detail. Let's stand to our feet and heads bowed. Brother Jim, come on, lead us in a song. Bus riders, as soon as the last amen is said, please come down and be ready to get on the buses, okay? What page, Brother Jim? 161 church.
Thank you. I'll try to send it.